Well, on the bulletin, it said spatial readings and spatial music, and each one of those were spatial. Really were. Meant a lot. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning for another opportunity to come and worship you in spirit and truth. We pray that you will open hearts and minds. Pray that you will give me the words to say and own this service. And if anyone learns anything from your truth this morning, we just pray that you get all the glory for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
20 years ago, if someone were to tell me that Jan and I would be at Herring, West Virginia, taking part in a Christmas Eve worship service, I would have said you were crazy. Yet here we are, it's Christmas Eve, in the presence of folks from all over the place, from different walks of life, all coming here to find out what the Bible has to say about the Christmas story. And I want to say that it's with great joy and gratitude that we come to say two things here to you tonight. We love you all, each and every one, and there's no place we'd rather be. Hasn't God blessed this church?
Amen.
Amen.
I fear that there is a danger of us becoming somewhat numb of this idea of the birth of Christ this time of year, even while exposed to good-intentioned, well-meaning, traditional acts of worship. You know, we hear the gospel accounts of the birth of Christ. We hear the prophecies from the Old Testament about his birth. We hear the beautiful Christmas carols, the singing and the readings, the shepherds and the wise men and the manger and the gifts and the angelic hosts. All are important, by the way, information familiar to us that should enrich, really, our worship of Christ this Advent season.
Amen.
So far, in our Advent season, we have learned that there is no hope without Christ. That was the first candle. Next, we learned that there is no peace without Christ, real peace, and no joy without our Savior. This Advent Sunday, we're going to see that love came down to earth at Christmas. The miracle of Christmas is that the baby in the manger was God in human flesh.
Amen.
1 John 4:9, John tells us that this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his love. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. But there's another candle. In the middle of the candles of hope and peace and joy and love. And that is the Christmas Christ candle. The Christ candle is in the center because it reminds us that Jesus is the center of Christmas. I want to light that for us, Will. This is the Christ candle. The Christ candle is at the center because it reminds us that Jesus is the center of Christmas. Sometimes we find in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, I've found, that there are, that you'll come across a statement or a verse that is so defining and so meaningful, even about the birth of Christ. And sometimes it's not in the likeliest spots. You know, you come and worship on a Christmas Eve and you're used to hearing those scriptures from the Gospels, especially Mark. I think Larry has read those year after year after year for us. An example might be 1 John 3:5, where he says, "But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. And in him is no sin." Now, there's no room for argument, really, there, is there? It's pretty straightforward, easy to see. We understand the verse and so forth. The context for our verse this morning that I want to share with you is from the Apostle Paul in the book of 2 Corinthians, the letter he wrote to the 2 Corinthians, and he's urging them to be generous to other Christians and giving to them in their time of need. That's the context of the exact actual verse. And seeking to motivate them to act in the act of generosity, he brings before them the greatest, the most selfless illustration of kindness and sacrifice the world has ever seen. Truth is, Jesus lived his entire life in the shadow of the cross.
Amen.
Let me read that verse for us, if you would, please. 2 Corinthians, is it 8 verse 9 or 9 verse 8? 8 verse 9?
Okay. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake, he became poor so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." That's these words.
Yeah. Thank you, Larry. Thank God for those words. "For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." Let's highlight a few of these words and phrases that help us understand the true meaning of Christmas. Not a likely place to find the Christmas scripture, is it? When we think of grace, we might say, well, you know, we know all about grace. Grace is explained in that great hymn, right? Amazing grace. And we've heard over and over in our Christian walk in different churches and around in our experiences that grace is unmerited favor and spontaneous love of God. Spontaneous love of God. I like that definition. And grace, God gives to those who don't deserve it, us, and who have no merit in themselves, and to those who are unlovely. Rich. Though he was rich, richer than anyone you and I will ever meet in this world, the Bible says that, tells us that riches of Jesus Christ have to do with the fact that before he was ever born in that manger in Bethlehem, he existed with the Father and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He made the universe, and everything is under his control. Therefore, for him to become poor was a radical shift. What does it mean to become poor? What does it mean he became poor? It means that for Jesus to leave the glory of heaven, where he had made the world, cast the mountains in place, told the rivers where to run, and placed the continental divide in place. After he did all that, he became man. In the act of becoming man, we would say he became poor.
Amen.
Born in a manger. Lived his life by saying such things as, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He assumed our human nature in a sinful environment, and he died without the clothes that were his to wear, at the hands of cruel men on false charges. Remember, this is an explanation of the Christmas story from the Apostle Paul, the brightest theologian who ever walked the earth. He hated Jesus. He hated Christians. But we know that he was turned around on the Damascus Road. He puts it this way for us in an unbelievable way. You want to know what the story is all about? It's the unmerited love of God that through his rich, though he was rich, having created the whole universe and living in heaven, having no need for anybody or anything, became poor for your sake.
Amen.
For your sake. What an expression of love. He came, truly God and truly man. Jesus did not come simply as an example of self-giving, although that was part of it. Jesus Christ did not come to earth to go to the cross to show us how much God loves us, although it was a great sign of that. The Bible says that Jesus came to build a bridge over troubled waters of our aloneness, our self-centeredness, our indifference, our rebellion. This is the real story of Christmas. Casting a shadow on his birth, by his death on the cross, he established a lifeline between the holy God and sinful man.
Amen.
He came as a bridge, but also as a shepherd, coming right alongside and picking us up on our on his shoulders in our time of need. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and I give my life for my sheep, for your sake."
Amen.
The significance of the cradle is that it led to the cross. On that cross, he was bearing sin. Whose sin? He was sinless. On that cross, he was taking punishment. Whose punishment? He deserved none. On that cross, he was redeeming. Redeeming who or what? He himself was totally free. For your sake.
Amen.
Since forgiveness is not cheap, but came at an unbelievable cost, Alistair Begg, probably one of my favorite preachers, said this, and I thought it was very appropriate. He came to pay a debt he did not owe, because we owe a debt we cannot pay.
Amen.
So the Christmas story is actually part of the gospel message. People will say, well, you know, it's terrible in this world. Brother Claude prays every Sunday. And there's one phrase always in his prayer: please cure this hateful divide we have in our nation.
Amen.
We know that things are in an uproar. Someone will say, well, why doesn't God just come and do something about this sin? Take care of it and do away with it right now. You realize if he had done that last night at midnight, none of us would have been here this morning.
Amen.
We're all sinners. Imagine with me just a minute. If someone came along and said, you know, I'll take care of your sin debt, how much do you owe? I owe an amount I cannot deal with. Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take your sin debt and I'll give you my credit. Well, you wouldn't do that, would you? Why would you do that? Because I love you. Well, there's got to be a trick to that. Surely you're going to send somebody around maybe next week and collect on this interest that I've been given all this week. No, I'll take care of it all. He came to pay a debt he did not owe, because you and I owe a debt we cannot pay.
Amen.
There's one more thing tied to this in closing. If just having the knowledge of what I just said was sufficient, there would be many more heading to the kingdom. But it doesn't work that way. Here's the best analogy I can come up with. If someone were to say to me over 50 years ago, you know that Jan Mace? She's a pretty good girl. And I bet she would probably love you and live with you and be your wife and be the joy of your life. And I said, well, thanks. That's good news. Thanks for sharing. Well, aren't you going to do something about it? Oh, you mean I've got to do something about it? Yes. You've got to marry her. You've got to marry her. You see, just knowing the facts isn't going to experience it. Making the commitment to marriage is the gateway to all the rest.
Amen.
At this point, the Bible says, yet to all who receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God.
Amen.
Corrie ten Boom. Made this statement. I'll close with. Who can add anything to Christmas? The perfect motive is that God so loved the world. The perfect gift is he gave his only son. The only requirement is to believe in him. The reward of faith is that you shall have everlasting life.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning for another opportunity to come. We know that this time of year brings great happiness to many, and at the same time, great sadness to many as well. We think of folks like Ron Lost, just lost his wife. We think of those who have cancer and are struggling to live. We think of Brother John Taylor, can't hardly breathe, gasping for breath. There are many in need. But there is a comforter that will comfort them. I pray that they will feel your presence at their side. Thank you for sharing with us the truth of your word. Thank you most of all, Lord, for sending your son Jesus as our Savior. In his name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Let's close now with Silent Night, number 85.
Round.
want to ask my son Luke to close us in prayer.
Let's pray. Father God, you are so good to us. You blessed us beyond anything we could imagine. You've sent your son, the Lord Jesus, into this world to redeem us, to set us free from the bondage of sin. You've filled our life with joy and gladness. We want to give you thanks for the riches that we have in Christ. Now here we stand, a church filled with billionaires and trillionaires. There's nothing that we need because you're our great shepherd.
Amen.
We thank you for the hope, for the peace, for the joy, and for the love that you've poured into our hearts in coming into this world. We thank you for the legacy of faith here on this hilltop. Decades and generations of faithfulness. Mm-hmm. We thank you for all who have come before, who've spoken the word of truth into our lives. We thank you for those buried here in the surroundings. Lives lived imperfectly, but following the shepherd. And we thank you for young ones here who are receiving that legacy of faith and running forward, not looking back, but with their eyes fixed on the prize, running that they might win. We thank you for filling us with your strength. And we can say now to him who's able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask, think, or imagine, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Amen.